Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 140 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Our next guest is a music producer, sports agent, and the founder and CEO of the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. He wrote three books, Putting It on the Line, Rock Your Business, and Rock Camp, an Oral History. His story was told in the 2021 documentary, Rock Camp, the Movie. We are going to continue telling his story right here on the Kiss Army Nation podcast. Kiss Army, please welcome David Fishop. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I've always wanted to get into the Kiss family, you know.
There you go. You're in.
And to understand the amazing, you know, the followers of Kiss, it is unbelievable. I can't tell you. I remember sitting in meetings 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I'm sitting with people, and then all of a sudden they'll pull over, they'll open their jacket, and they'll see the Kiss guys. And it's like a... it's like a private membership, you know?
Yeah.
And then my other, you know, I went to one of these Kiss conventions. It was very slow. And a guy looks like Paul Stanley. And he comes over to me and I take a picture with him. And then I take his card. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a trainer. Meanwhile, the guy's been training me for the last 4 years.
Oh, my God.
And then on top of it, he's become the rock star trainer. And he's training Michael Berger. Gene Simmons is a bass.
The technician. Yeah.
And he's training people on the tour. And I introduced them to Paul. I've introduced them to Gene at my camps. And you guys have your own religion.
It is Christianity. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is quite unique.
Unbelievable. I'm honored to be on this. This is great.
Oh, fantastic to have you on. And, you know, doing this podcast, we've interviewed over 100 people, and you know, everybody we've interviewed now become our friends, part of the family. You know, we see each other, say, hey, how's it going? You know, so you know, welcome to the family.
Yeah, and the Kiss cruises. I mean,
yes,
there you go.
I had time to go on them. I love those people, Six Man.
Yeah,
and I love the manager, by the way. Doc McGee is one of my heroes. Known him since I started this business. He's done a great job, you know, managing that band, keeping it alive. And I follow them. I read all Paul's books. I'm a big mm-hmm. fan of Paul Stanley, big fan of Gene Simmons.
Okay.
And I totally get, you know, they're two guys who, if I had to follow anyone in rock and roll, I'd want to follow them. And I know everyone. I know them all. They are authentic. They love their fans. They are straight. They have proven you can be successful without going to do drugs. That their mm-hmm. message is great. God, I mean, I feel like it's my podcast, but the other
it's yours.
And I love the brilliant. Because I'm not I was never a Kiss fan. I didn't, you know, they weren't my band growing up. It was the Beatles and it was the Beach Boys, but I got to learn the way their mentality of, you know, just inviting young people to come for free to their shows early on in the amphitheaters and you know, just how, you know, through generations and generations of Kiss fans. And they're two guys who, you know, I would let my kids model themselves after.
Right. Hello, Mike. But also, being a businessman yourself, you could appreciate the business aspect of what they do in the music business.
Of course.
I just can't believe all the people spend all that money.
Guilty.
You know? I mean, I think my favorite line is in Paul's, I think his last book, he said, Gene, he'll be 95 years old and sitting in front of his house on Mulholland and taking selfies for $25.
Oh, yeah.
It is true.
That's it.
Yeah. But again, David, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you. And we're going to kick it off. So we know that you've been pretty busy lately, and you recently attended the Las Vegas Music Awards. So we noticed your photo with Kip Winger, with Bruce Kulick, who were also in attendance to receive an award. So can you tell us about your experiences at that event?
Well, I went because of Bruce and Kip. And and a couple of the other rockers that I'm really friendly with. And I just said to myself, you know, I'm going there to support them. You know, Bruce Kulick has supported Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp for so many years. He was a great, great mentor. And I'm happy that now that he's off the road with Grand Funk, he's coming back to camp and he's going to be doing my new camp in April, Chad Smith. And so I'm really looking forward to having Bruce. Bruce is a really very special guy, another special man. And he's really done a great job in keeping his legacy with KISS and enjoying the KISS legacy. And it's well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just to add up to how busy you are, so you also attended NAMM, where we saw beautiful pictures of you with Debbie
Debbie
Gibson
Gibson.
and Corey Feldman. So how did that come about?
Well, you know, Debbie, it's a great story with Debbie. With 20 years ago, I went to Debbie and come off the road from with Ringo and the Monkees, and they were doing a VH1 Classic was doing a TV show, a Thanksgiving dinner that was going to that was me and a bunch of rockers sitting around the table talking about Thanksgiving. And Debbie was there, and I told Debbie I'm thinking of getting engaged, and she said, David, I'll come to your house and sing the song, my favorite, you know, Lost in Your Eyes. That's a great song to get engaged. And I said, that's her favorite song. So Debbie, I called her a week later and said, I'm ready, and it probably propelled me to get engaged to her. As I'm thinking now, and my wife walked in, my fiance at the time walked in, and she wasn't even my fiance, and Debbie was there in the house on the piano, and she's
Oh,
surprised.
yeah. Wow.
And she's really been a friend for these years. And so, and Corey Feldman came to Rock Camp, and you know, so many people have come to camp, and so it was great to see him. And then the young lady in Corey's band now is a graduate of Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. So, you
Oh.
know, it's great to see Alexandra, that she's now in his band, and they're touring with Limp Bizkit this summer.
Look at that. Wow.
Nice, nice. Now, David, just before you came on the show, I noticed a picture of you, the proud daddy, holding your daughter's new book, and you bought like a million copies of them.
Yeah, well, I want to keep it number one on the Amazon.
We'll boost it up.
So that's the way you do it. And my daughter, Alana Mulstein, is a nutritionist, and she is, I give her a lot of credit. I've lost a lot of weight with her. I've kept 50 pounds off for over tw 10, 12 years.
Wow.
She has a lifestyle. You know, her motto is veggies, water first, veggies most. And she's been around rock stars her whole life. She's been heavy, and she on her own, she lost over 100 pounds, and
Wow.
she loves teaching people how to lose weight and how to eat a lot. She's a volume eater, as she calls it, but she loves to teach people they can eat. And so, proud dad, you know, promoting her book on Amazon. It's number one. And,
Beautiful.
you know, so why not? She's
Oh,
my daughter.
fantastic. Well, I'm also very proud to have gotten this book in the mail a couple of days ago, Rock Your Business.
Yeah.
Looking forward to reading it.
And I quote Gene Simmons a lot. I quote Paul Stanley a lot. I'm huge fans of those guys. I have to say, you know, as a businessman, I think Gene and I have had a mutual respect. And we've known each other a lot of years. And I love that he's proud, and he's a proud Israeli, a proud Jew, and he's come out. He's not afraid to speak his mind. I think that he's great. You know, he stands for what he stands up, and we, you know, being Jewish myself, and I love Israel, you know, we share the same love. And I think he and we both have his mother's a Holocaust survivor, my father was a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, okay.
And I went to when he was honored by the Yad Vashem organization, I went and sat with him, and I was really proud to be there with him. And he spoke amazing that night, and you know, he knows how to charm and turn it on
Yeah.
when he has to. And but he's very sincere about his beliefs, whether you believe in his beliefs or not, but he will teach you how to make money.
Well, the reason I mentioned this book is because we were recently also a keynote speaker at a business convention in Tampa, and the theme was very familiar, Rock Your Business. So, can you give us a little a summary of your talk to help us get more of an insight into this book?
So this was a camper of mine, and he happens to be a deadhead, and he comes to my camps. And you know, being in a rock band is like being in business. You know, it's you know, you have the same thing to to run a business, you have to have team building, you have to have teamwork, you have to have collaboration. It's the same thing. You got to learn to listen, and all the things that make a band successful in a business, apply to every day's your business. And the KISS guys are perfect for that because they love their fans, and you have to love your customers. I mean, my book is really lessons that I've learned from people like Gene and Paul and Roger Daltrey and the Beatles and all those successful bands that have had their brand around for 50 years. There are not a lot of companies that are around for 50 years to this day, and these bands have kept up their success. And by using the right all the business laws that they and business rules that they keep their bands together apply to a regular company, and they're more successful. I mean, the Rolling Stones are grossing 10 million a night. Taylor Swift is grossing 20 million a night, and you can learn a lot from these rock stars. I mean, many years ago, people, oh, these rock stars, they would put them down, and these rock stars are very smart, and they get smarter every day. And they get good managers behind them, successful people, and they have the ability to keep their business going bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think that I wrote the book because I felt that companies could learn a lot from rock and roll stars of how to run their business. So the book is, although I wrote it 10 years ago, it was in my it was I bear in mind it was really what I learned from all these rock stars that I've been around for so many years, and I wanted to share that knowledge with people.
Well, I'm a high school teacher, and I'm heavily involved in student life, and we also do leadership camps with the kids. So I'm hoping that this book will give us some tips on, good leadership, not just for the adults, but for the kids as well.
The book is really not even for adults. It's for young college kids and high school kids. They will get a great education by reading that book. I mean, it's not hard to read. It's not a, one of my campers who comes to camp, Scott Keller, he's the head of McKinsey. He's one of the vice presidents of McKinsey. He writes these books. I can't even get past the third page. They're so deep, and this book,
Too heavy. That's right.
too heavy. And but my book is really simple, and I think for young students, and I think they will love it and learn some great lessons on how to succeed in today's world.
Nice. Thank you.
Did you apply some of your recipes there on your book, David? So the stuff that you went through when you started off?
Yeah, I did a lot of that. I added a lot of that. And I have to say, when I did my tours for many years, they were successful. And, and I, I've had some things that weren't successful. We can't always hit a home run. But, the Monkees, I produced them in 1986, and followed by Dirty Dancing as a live tour. And then I created Ringo as the all-star band. And it, just came to a while that I was living on the road, and I just didn't want to, have my life on the road anymore. So that's when I decided to, put my energy in doing the camps. And I have to say that I ran into a lot of problems in the beginning doing the camps because I couldn't understand how come I was successful in one business and then I tried something else and it wasn't successful. And there was a great book that I read by a guy named Goldsmith, and he writes, What happened here doesn't guarantee it'll happen there, something like that. And just because you're successful in one business doesn't necessarily mean you'll be successful in another business. And I had to go through a lot of trials and tribulations to do Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, but I've got the formula. It's doing very well now, and I think camp's been a lot of fun for people, changes a lot of lives for people, and as you'll see in Rock Camp the movie, I do feature I mean the director, he was such a KISS fan. I didn't even know that going in. I couldn't understand why he's adding so much KISS and so many. Well, he's from Detroit, and Doug, he's an Oscar winner, and he just wanted to get as much KISS in there. I wanted to make it even, and he just kept every cut. Oh, he had a KISS showing up to a Walmart convention, and he showed up. He was just brilliant, and he said, "Well, I got to feature Paul Stanley." I said, "Okay." "I got to feature Gene Simmons." I said, "Okay," but there's other rockers in there because my camp is about everybody. And but they really turn out to be the stars of the film, and it's great. It's on Amazon Prime. It's free. And I think fans will really, really enjoy it.
Love it. We're going to check it out. David, obviously, this being a KISS podcast, we can't avoid, mentioning your interactions with some of the members of the band. So you mentioned before, you know, your admiration with Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, but also Bruce Kulick. So can you tell our listeners how those interactions were with them? So, for example, with Paul, so what did you get into with Paul?
So let me start off. My first interaction was with Ace Frehley,
Oh, okay.
and Ace did my I you know it's this is known. He I booked him to do one of my camps early on, and that day he fell and never made it to camp. And then the next thing I read was he went to rehab, and he's been straight ever since. And I adore that man. I really think he's. The what he's overcome in his life and his beliefs too, you know, he stands for he stands for his principles. And what an amazing guitar player and what an amazing person. I mean, if you get to meet Ace, he spent time with him like I did, and I spent a lot of time with him. He's done many of my camps. He's great to the people. He's really into the music. You know, unfortunately, he's taken some ribbing for the other guys, but. You know, no, nothing's going to stop Ace. He's going ahead and continuing his success. I had the drummer,
Peter.
Peter Chris. He was very nice. Him and his wife, they came to a camp I did in New York. You know, I didn't really get to, I got to spend time with Peter. What a gentleman he is. And you know, again, I think he had some medical issues at the time, but he's doing great. And he's also another guy that. You know, the one thing those four guys had together, they all have their own opinions and their own, they stand for what they believe. And, you know, you got to give them credit. They created such an incredible, product with Kiss. And those four really get the chance, you know, they really deserve it, their success. And then, you know, when they left the band, you know, and then Gene Paul took over. I remember calling Doc McGee and saying, "Doc, I'd love to, you know, see if I can get the guys to come do my camp." And Doc said, "Come over to SIR one day. They're rehearsing, and I'll introduce you to them, and you know, talk to them yourself." You know, we've been friends for many years, and he just felt that, you know, it's not a huge deal to do Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. You know, I've 70, 80 people versus what you guys do in tours, 15,000 people a night, and he just, you know, liked what I do, and so I got to spend time with, you know, with Paul and pitched him on camp, and he did it, and he's come back a few times, and he's, you know, like he said in the film, he says he would do rock camp for free. You know, that's how much he enjoys it.
Look at that.
And then Gene also, you know, I had Gene, surprisingly, I gotta say, Gene was one of my best. You know, I didn't expect from him what, you know, when he came to do his camp. My favorite thing is Gene came to camp, and you know, the first thing, he walks into a room to meet a band, and you know, they always want to jam a Kiss song. And he turned to the band and he said, "Oh, Gene, we want to do Deuce." And he said, "No, I'm not here to do Deuce with you. I'll do it with you if you want. But I really want to teach you guys how to write a song." And from the bottom of his heart, he really worked with each band on how to write a song and how he wrote his songs. And then, you know, what was so cool is that after camp, he went after camp, he went and you know, was in touch with these bands and said, "Let me hear the song you finally did." So again, you know, you don't see that care from you know, many rock stars. You know, they do their appearance, and they, you know, Roger Daltrey is that way, loves his fans, and you know, but he, you know, and he interacts with them. But I think the interaction that the guys have with the fans and is one in a million, and they, you know, so it was quite interesting to see the way they interact different than other people.
Well, it makes it even richer, right? So the experience, it's even better, you know. We're having those rock stars, you know, getting to really humble and getting really close to the fans. That makes it even more special.
And they acknowledge, they listen, we wouldn't be successful if it wasn't for our fans. And
Yes.
you know, I remember the time that they went through and they took off the makeup, and you know, it wasn't easy for them. You know,
Yeah.
now it's a lot easier for a lot of these bands, but you know, they went through a lot.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you know, they, again, they deserve the credit because they've endured the good times and the bad times. And you know, many companies went out of business and they just got stronger and bigger.
That's right. Did you have the chance to be with Bruce Kulick too?
So Bruce and I are very close. I think Bruce and I are really good friends, and I spent a lot of time with Bruce. And you know, my best friend, one of my best friends, was Mark Farner from Grand Funk, and you know,
Okay.
got messed out of Grand Funk, and he got voted out, which is really unfair. How can you vote out the lead singer of a band? And but and then Bruce went in to replace him. But I remember bringing them together. They came to camp, and Bruce said, "I'm just a hired gun," and Mark said, "I know it's not because of you." And they've turned out to be good friends, and so I think that relationship has been great. I remember Ace telling me that Mark, Mark, I had Mark Farner from Grand Funk at camp, and Ace says, "I want to come by. I want to meet him because I snuck in backstage to a concert for Grand Funk and holding an amp just trying to get in to meet him." So that was really cool. Learned a lot over the years with Paul Stanley. I mean, he would come to camp and he did some great Q&As, and I remember he said something about his parents, and he was talking about his mom and dad. And I called him the next day and I said, "Wait a minute, I heard what you said. Can you explain that to me? Because I had a relationship with my mother and I had some issues with my mother and my father." And he went through it with me. So,
Really?
it,
Wow.
I called him up. I wanted to question him and his relationship, and he right away did it with me, and went through it with me. And I've had his son, Evan, come to camp. He's been a great instructor at rock camp. So no, I think the interaction with Kiss and Rock and Roll Fans Camp and myself has been a great one, and I love the
Wow.
relationship.
Wow, great
Oh,
experiences.
fantastic. So Dave, just listening to you talk, it's very clear that you have a love for music, but also you have a strong business sense. So what was the catalyst for you that sparked your love for both business and music?
That's a great question because I started off as a sports agent living in New Jersey. I represented a lot of the New York Giants and Phil Sims and Randy Myers, baseball players, Lou Piniella. And then I had the opportunity to pick up a band called The Association. I was sharing office space with a lot of music agents and someone re managers and someone recommended me to meet this band. And I went out to California. I met them. And I just said to myself, I like this creativity with music, where you could come up with ideas. And whereas in sports, here I was negotiating contracts, and all it was show me the money, just like the Jerry Maguire movie. And I just said, I could have an opportunity to work with a band and formulate a little bit about their career and really get involved. And just like the original manager of Kiss, you got to give him a lot of credit. So what I liked, that's really what I liked about music. And music, you can get creative and come up with ideas. And one of my biggest idea was, and I did the Happy Together tours where I put four bands together. And then 1986, I did the Monkees, and I brought them back, and it really, changed. I think it changed the music industry to the point where people saw the effect that MTV had on a band that was 20 years old, and also the effect on how many tickets they sold and how popular the Monkees became, that all these other bands said, "Well, if the Monkees can do it, so can we." So I think they were
Right.
great. It was a great experience in 1986 to bring a lot of bands back. And then I was the first one to take a movie, Dirty Dancing, and make that into a live tour. That's never been done before in our industry. And that was very successful for me. And then, I used to go out and get corporate sponsors, and President of Pepsi called me and said, "We love what you do with Dirty Dancing and the way you package shows, and we want to back you and pick a show that you always wanted to do." And I said, I always wanted to put Ringo Starr around an all-star band. My brother was a drummer, and that song "Little Help My Friends" that he sings, and I created that tour, and I put that on the road, and I ended up going on the road for 15 years with Ringo.
Wow.
So I enjoyed the entertainment business because it's, you come up with an idea, you can be creative. And that's what I love about Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Every day I have to come up with an idea to create a new camp. And, it's not just doing the same thing over and over again. It keeps my mind fresh.
Exciting.
And,
Keeps you alive.
what do my campers want to do? Now, while sports is very lucrative and it was a lucrative business, I never thought these players would make these hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't regret it one bit. Because I really enjoy, to me, it's about the create, it's not about making money. You can always make money. If you're good at what you do, you're going to make money. So it's just, I like the creative stuff of the entertainment business. And with Rock Camp, it gives me the combination where I'm able to be creative. I'm able to change people's lives simultaneously and come up with new ideas and TV properties. So Now I'm doing comedy fantasy camps. I mean, I went to Jay
Nice.
Leno and Carolla, and it was Adam who said to me, "Why don't we do a comedy camp?" And we did one, and we did another. We're going to sell it out, and it's been fun.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So, like I said earlier, I work with high school students in leadership. What would you tell my students if they want to pursue a career in, for example, music business or any business for that matter?
Well, let's talk about music business. The music business is a very it's a great business to get into. It's a great business to get into because you're doing something you're passionate about every day, and that's one of the things that I'm a big believer, passion. During COVID, I did 160 master classes with so many rock stars and bands, because the business was closed, and I decided to go on Zoom and sell tickets so you could talk to Alice Cooper and Roger Daltrey and Styx and Scorpions. And many of these artists gave the money to their crew. Many of them gave it to charity. I would listen to these interviews for an hour, and an hour always turned into 2 hours and 3 hours because these rock stars had nowhere to go. And they were answering questions. And the common denominator that they all had was passion, and it's about the song. Passion and about the song. And that's the key to the music business. It's the song. And passion. And I think that I would tell everyone that if you're young, you want to go into a business that you're passionate about. Now, if it's real estate, go into real estate. If you want to be a teacher and change people's lives, be a teacher. But whatever you do, you have to be passionate or don't do it, because then your life will be boring. So passion is the number one I could tell people. The music business, there's so many great places now. There's Berklee School of Music, there's so many colleges, Belmont, that they offer the business of the music business. There's also so many great books. Don Passman wrote a book, Everything I Want You Want to Know About the Music Business, but Was Afraid to Ask. Ari Hertenstadt has written a great book about new modern, how to do marketing. He's also a great person. And Gene Simmons said a great line in an interview. He said, "I wish there was a Rock and Roll Fans Camp 50 years ago because I would have learned a lot, and I would have made so many mistakes." But I think knowledge is really important, and I think that if you can work at a record label and you can start small, everyone who really started the business started. I started booking acts in the Catskills, but I kept going and kept driving. And if you have a zest, music business is a great way to get into. And there's a lot of opportunities, whether it's working at the local arenas to learn the business and start at any position, record companies, radio stations, television stations. Just find something that you're passionate about.
Beautiful, great take. David, you mentioned before, the camp, Rock and Roll Fantasy Camps. Okay, how did you get it started?
So camp has always been a dream for me because I did camps years ago in New Jersey with Lou Piniella, the baseball camps. I was on the Ringo tour, and after the fourth show, they played a joke on me, which is on YouTube, and it's in the movie Rock Camp. Levon Helm and Joe Walsh played a joke on me, and you'll see it there. It's they almost scared me, but they did scare me, and I realized that they did a fake fight, and that's all I'll tell you. Watch the movie; it's great. It's on. You guys can put it in your podcast. But that joke, really, I saw how much fun that these rock stars had on the road with Ringo. We were touring. It was only the band, no managers, no agents, no wives, no groupies, no nobody. Just, and Ringo. And I just said, wow, if I could give this to the fan an opportunity to hang out with these rock stars and just see how amazing they are and writing songs and hanging out together and to see this would be a great dream to give people. And so that's why I got the idea to do Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp 26 years ago. And it's been great. It's only been great because it's only worked because the rock stars who come look keep coming back. So whether it's Roger Daltrey or Paul Stanley, they've come back to do camps. And because they've come back to do camps, I'm able to keep doing these camps.
And you were mentioning before that it keeps your brain fresh and thinking of new ideas all the time. So and you gave it a new spin now to the camp by adding a songwriting component, right, to the camp.
Yes,
So can
I
you tell
did.
us about that?
When we were doing those classes over Zoom during COVID, I did one with Desmond Child, and another amazing songwriter. And And he was just brilliant. We did three nights together and on Zoom, and he would take your song and transform it, and really break it down and teach people. So, I went to Desmond and I said, "Hey, let's do this live." And we did it, and it was brilliant. He's quite a talent. And one of the things that I emphasized at that camp, because and again, I want to emphasize it here too, because I think you asked me the question previously, is, how can I write songs? How can I get my songs to stars? How do I get my songs to bands? And I wanted Desmond to talk about that. And, he was honest. He said, my first band, I went to brought a box of cookies. I went to the venue and in the afternoon on Saturday at 12 o'clock when the bus was just come pulling in, the band was going out for sound check. And I went over to the artist and I said, "Hey, here's a song I wrote specifically for you. Here's a box of cookies my mom made. Would you listen to my song?" And there's a saying that Shep Gordon, the great manager of Alice Cooper, he writes in his book, and he talks a lot about this, and it's called Above the Noise. And if you want to get successful in our business, one of the ways is to be above the noise. How can you get your find somebody and make it different, whether it's your song presentation or whatever you want to do. I had a guy the other day. I saw him, I was in Israel, and he said, "My son's working for the NBA, and he heard my speech about above the noise and quoting Shep." And he said he took a picture of that he took with Adam Silver, the commissioner of basketball, sent them the blew up the picture, sent it Federal Express with a letter saying, "I really want to work in the NBA. It'd be my dream, and I hope you remember me." And he came back from Israel 2 weeks later, and there was a letter waiting for him from Adam Silver saying, "Call this number, and they'll have a job for you."
Wow.
Wow.
So I
That's
think
right.
that's really important. Above the noise, I wrote a FedEx to Ringo Starr to meet him. Whatever it takes for you to meet these people that you want to get to, and you want to sell them your songs or your ideas. Everyone's on social media. You can find anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dave, you also made a new camp announcement on the 29th.
Yeah,
The
big one.
next fantasy camp is taking place April 18th to the 21st. So, what can fans expect from this new fantasy camp?
Well, this is a great one because it's new. It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and to get Chad Smith was a big gift for me. Get Noodles from The Offspring and Nick Haxton from 311. This is really great. This is music that a younger generation, and we always want to appeal to younger people, and it's great music to play. So I'm really excited about this camp.
Nice, nice. Now I have to ask, me for example, I've got no musical talents. I can't sing, I can't write, I can't play an instrument. Is a fantasy camp a camp for a person like me in any way?
No.
That's
You could try comedy fantasy camp, but if you get
good.
but
Oh my
if
God.
you get no, I don't want you. I want young musicians or older musicians, people who are in high school bands and college bands who want to relive the experience, who always wanted to be a musician full time. They had a choice in their life when they were 20, 21, either go for it like Gene and Paul did, or get a real job, and they went for the real job. And today, deep in their hearts, they really want to be a musician. Joe Perry said it best at rock camp. A guy says to him, Joe says to a guy during Q&A, he says, "We know, what do you do for a living?" The guy says, "I'm a lawyer, and on weekends I play guitar in my band." And Joe says to him, "You're full of shit." He says, "You're a musician first, you're a guitarist first. You do the legal BS to buy guitars." And the guy said, "Yeah, that's me." So, musicians are
The
musicians,
legal
and
BS.
it's so funny because I said to Gene one day, I said, "You don't take enough credit of being one of the great bass players out there. It's always business, business, business. You don't talk about your songwriting. You don't talk about, it's always money and it's your books, and you're an amazing talent on that bass. You're an amazing talent as a songwriter." And he said, "Ah, there's a lot of songwriters, a lot of musicians. I guess he wants to be known as a businessman."
Talking about business and music, so I guess we all agree that the music business has changed so much, lately. And now there are so many different ways of experiencing music. Not only going to concerts, but there's music-themed cruises, there's expos, there's all kinds of events. Would you say, David, that that the camp is also so essential for a music lover? So if you're a music lover, should you go to your camp?
It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. If you can afford to come to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp and hang with these rock stars, and again, watch the movie Rock Camp, you will see it's free. It's on Amazon. I'm telling you, a Peacock, you will see an experience that, unlike anything that you'll get from any band, you just hang out 4 days with Jerry Cantrell, with Roger Daltrey. I'll tell you what happens. These rock stars come to camp, and it reminds them what it was like when they first started. So they sit down and have lunch with people. They talk to people. They spend time with people. They, just seeing Gene the way he spent hours with these bands. Once they come to camp, they leave their egos behind. They just want to help other fellow musicians. So you're not getting that experience backstage or meet and greet. And this is a once in a lifetime experience.
It is true. They get, I think they get back to the roots, right? So they find
Back to their roots.
themselves.
And it's not about money, it's about the music. And I think Nancy Wilson said it best when she came to my camp, and I said, "How did you like the experience?" She said, "David, she said, when we start making it and we get our first hit song, it becomes about agents and managers and business and everything." He says, "Your camp is pure music." And that's, it is. It really is. It's a great experience that I think people will really enjoy.
Would you say that fantasy camps are kind of the ultimate way of consuming music these days?
I think so. And not because of, it's not that it's the greatest business in the world. It's not, because unlike concerts where you can take in 15 and 20,000 people and you can do two cruises like Kiss did, keep selling out more. I can only take one drummer in a band. I can only take one bass player in a band. So, if I feel bad, people didn't sign up enough for the next camp with the Van Halen camp. It's sold out, and you just don't have room for it. So it is the ultimate experience. It really is. And I think people, if you're a musician, it's probably the greatest thing you can do for yourself. Now, are they scared to come to camp? Absolutely. Is it something where you can go to a concert, sit back, you can go on a cruise and drink, have fun. With rock camp, you're going to learn the songs. You're going to meet people that in a band, place in a band, and people do get nervous. Oh, I'm not good enough. This, and that's the worst thing they shouldn't do. They should come, because once they come through the experience, over 50% of our campers are returnees. So obviously you see that they keep coming back and back. And also, you're able to, if you get through breakthrough yourself, your own fears, then you're able to do other things in life. And I love when they come back and they come to camp, and then they start forming their own bands, and they start writing songs and doing and gigging. And so I think it propels people. If you're a musician, rock camp definitely will propel you to keep living your dream.
It sounds like it's a life-changing experience more than music,
It
right?
really is life-changing.
But this is so cool, because this interview, it's like so many words of wisdom. It's like learning about the business world out there, what it takes to make it in the business world. Like you said, it's about the music, it's about the passion, it's about having the confidence to do it. It's a great message to the young people, for sure.
Totally, and even that business thing, that the business program that we do, the team building operation, what happens is, people go to a business meeting all day, and at 4 o'clock they walk into a room, and I have a room full of musicians ready to play rock and roll all night. And I introduce the band. They say, "Say hello to Vinny Appice on drums, say hello to Lita Ford on guitar, say hello to Bruce Kulick on guitar." And I said, "Each one of you is going to go into a room with one of these rock stars, and you're going to rewrite the lyrics to a song that they're involved in. And then you're going to come, you have 90 minutes to do it. And you're going to write the song about your company. And then you're going to come back here and you're going to perform it in front of the rock stars." And it's incredible what these people write and the names they come up with. And then they get challenged. So they're playing on stage, they're playing with these rock stars, they're writing their own lyrics, and you're making them a rock star for a day. There's so much to learn from the world of rock and roll. And so much that businesses, again, I'm a big believer. These bands are of Kodak isn't around anymore. So
Oh
many
my.
drinks and sodas and beers and food products and stores that aren't around anymore, that have not been able to keep their legacy up for 15 years for 50 years, like the Beatles, like Kiss, like Aerosmith, and the Stones, and the list goes on and on and on.
But you've been in the music business now for about what, 45 years now?
67, so I've been in it for 47 years.
Wow.
Wow.
So
Starting to
you definitely know your stuff. Now, speaking solely within the Kiss camp, they've been in the business for over 50 years now. Yet, even after 50 years, they make questionable decisions. So I want your take on the following. What are your thoughts about, Ace Frehley's latest comments? He's promoting his new album coming out at the end of the month, but he's saying his album is so great, it'll make Paul and Gene look like imbeciles. His voice is superior to Paul. Do you think that's the right way to do it, to promote an album, to promote what he does?
No. But I think what he has to do is he has to defend himself. It's enough that these guys have keep saying that he was a drug addict and he was this, and he's been sober for so many years. And I think Gene and Paul, they have their personal issues, and that's something you can't, these bands, they have so many issues in between with them. They grew up together. And so a lot of that personal stuff gets in the way. I think that, I think when these musicians are bad mouthing each other, it's only bad for their brands. So I, I'm not telling, I'm not saying Paul's right, and I'm not saying Ace is right, but I read only what you guys read. So we don't know the whole story. We don't know what's going in between the lines and what's happening and why they're saying these things. But I think that, I've heard enough that the two guys are, they're always saying that the two guys did all these drugs and they did everything. They couldn't be part of the band, and but they're both sober now. So I think that I think that they've been, again, it's they all making comments. There's no win. There's no one right here. Gene has made some nasty comments about Ace, and Ace has made nasty comments about Gene, and then they go hug each other,
It's payback.
Exactly,
Right.
exactly. Now, I know I have to get over this, but I keep mentioning this episode after episode after episode. But you know what I'm talking about. So here I go. Dave, what are your thoughts about there being no mention of past members and all of the people that got kissed where they are today, 50 years later? No mention was made at the final show in Madison Square Garden. What are your thoughts about
No,
that?
again, there is a there's an opinion. I know that Bruce, was upset, and he came out with it. It's their business, and they got a right to do what they want. We have a saying: whoever has the gold rules. They're promoting their brand, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I guess they had them up there. I don't remember what happened there, but I think that the band has, they make their decisions, and you got to just respect their decisions, and it's their business decision. Would have sold more tickets? Probably not. Maybe, but I don't think so. I think they sold out every show. So it's an economic decision. I also think that there was an artistic, there's something artistically involved, and so I'm not sure that I agree or disagree with that statement. Again, it's their business. They have control of it. They've gotten control of the business. So, I see Bruce disappointed, but he talks to Gene all the time.
It's true. And I'm going to piggyback on the last question from past, talking about the final show. And I just wanted to know, from the business point of view, what are your thoughts about, kind of trying to promote the avatar thing at the end of the show?
Listen, I don't think they're over. You know what? I don't think they're over. I'll tell you why. I think that, I remember Roger Daltrey saying a great line to me one day. I'm jealous what's her name? Joan Rivers. I said, why? She went and did a show and then she died the next day. These people need the stage
Yeah,
as
they need
you
it.
and I need to drink water. And as much as I remember Paul telling me, I don't know, 15 years ago, they're never going on tour again. And I believed at the time that he meant it. I really do believe he meant it. I believe that Motley Crue meant it at the time when they signed the contract. They're never going to go on tour again. But then all of a sudden, you get these companies like Live Nation and AEG come to you, and they offer you millions and millions of dollars, and they ask you to change your mind. And, you know, listen, Ringo Starr is still working, 83. Paul McCartney's 82. They need the stage, and that's their drug. So, and that's their medicine. So is Kiss over? No, I don't believe it one bit. I don't believe it one bit. And do I believe they believed when they announced it? Yes, I do. I believe Paul Stanley telling me Labor Day weekend, we're never going to go on tour again. I'm not going on the road because I can't go away for a long time, away from my family, my young kids. Then these kids grow up and you're in the house. And they look at each other and say, you know what, I'm going to go on the road. And while the money brings them to do it, in the end, they're musicians. That's what they do. Ringo's a drummer. When he's on the road, he's a Beatle. When he's home, he's a schmuck. His wife's telling him to throw out the trash. So, so why shouldn't they go out? If there's an audience there to entertain people, if it's artistically there, if you can deliver that sound in that show, why not keep performing? If there's a market, why? I think the Stones going out is great.
Yeah. But, in the case of Kiss, so what they decided to do at the last show, so I think that you might have heard about it. So they, I agree with you. So I actually, what you're doing with the camp, it's actually believing in music, having the musician in front of you, it's all about communication, a life experience. But Kiss decided to promote the avatars, which is kind of a hologram or something that it's going to be like a live show, but without the musicians there. So do you think that that's going to work? Do you think that that's the way that they're going to keep the legacy going?
I don't think so. Okay. You know what? Listen, could it be a Broadway show? Absolutely. Could it be avatars? Absolutely. The brilliance of that band is that they are two different people. I noticed that when they're in costume, they have X amount of fans. When they're not in costume, they got X minus, a lot. I learned that from doing business with them. Their brand of them in costume is a lot different than their brand as when they're not in costume. I think again with those guys and that band, as long as they find it mutually that they can do it and have fun and and again, do I believe this was the final tour? They announced it when they announced it. Yes, but then they wake up one day and say, you know what? How about we go out again? And say, okay, what are you going to offer an apology? You're not going to offer an apology. If people are buying tickets, why not? Maybe the tour. Touring is very hard. There's no question, especially that band, to get ready and to put on those uniforms and everything they'd put on. But if they could find a place in Vegas to sit and they can get a place in Vegas and sit, and why not? Again, it's the Joe Perry line. They're a musician. They want to play music.
I would love to see an unplugged, a non-makeup, no costume, just sit there and just play. It's like you said, about the music. Play the music. That's it.
They do it on the cruise, don't they?
Yeah,
they do it
exactly. Take that on the road.
I see no reason why they wouldn't. So, I think they want to break now. I think Paul has his projects that he wants to do. I think Gene has his projects. I think they need a break. But there's still another generation coming up in 5 years from now. Who's going to want to see Kiss?
Mm-hmm.
So, David, one more question before we close the curtain on this episode. Talking about the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, it sounds almost like a Comic-Con, right? So it gives the fans an opportunity to live in a fantasy world of music with their heroes, their idols for a few days. So tell us a little bit about the feedback you got from the people who've attended the fantasy camps.
Well, I'm going to tell all your fans to go to the movie rockcamp.com and that's our website and go and watch the movie because you will see the response. 50% of the campers return. When did I announce the camp? They want to come back because they get taken to such a high of playing the Whiskey a Go-Go with the star, of jamming with these people for 4 days, and then they go back to their regular jobs. and it gets a little boring. And
Yeah.
one guy came back to me after 3 years, and I said to him, "What brought you back?" He says, "You know, David, I gotta be honest with you. I've been going to therapy every week, and all I do is talk about Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. All I do is talk about Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp." And then after 3 years, the therapist took all my money, and then he said to me, "Just go back to the camp."
That's right. That's simple as
It's simple as
that.
that's why he's back, you know. And when you see Paul Stanley saying, "I would do this for free," you know, it really, and you know, he doesn't do anything for free. So I had to put that quote in the film.
Nice, nice. And where can people learn more about you, your books, the camps?
And thank you so much. Rockcamp.com has all the updates of all the upcoming camps, the comedy camp. And the books are at Amazon. And but you know, Rock, get on our email list and you'll find out the latest camps. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
I will.
That's a great book because it was written by the counselors and about the rock stars, and I think people will learn a lot. And as long as the people want to keep coming to camp, I'm not retiring. I want to keep doing camps. You know, why retire? If you love doing
Yeah.
something you're passionate, I don't have to put on all those clothes, Gene, and that makeup every night, so I can keep doing it.
David, it's such a huge pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank
You
you.
know, it's been a great experience. You know, as Paz was saying before, you know, so many words of wisdom, and you know, your approach, you know, your humbleness, it's unique. You know, I think this episode was one of my favorites. So thank you so much for being here. Thank
Thank
you.
you. And thank you guys for having me. Really, you know, and I love your allegiance to the band. I think it's terrific.
So what I loved about this episode, David, was that, like you said earlier, you know, we have to constantly learn. We're always learning, and we're dead if we just stop learning. And I love coming out of a podcast and having bits of information that I can actually bring back to my students. And I think I could
Oh,
do that with this episode.
thank you, and absolutely, and I think they'll enjoy the book. They'll enjoy the
Oh
book.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
It really gives them life lessons and lessons of you know, how they can be successful in their business.
yeah.
Right, you know,
So thank you very much once again for coming on the
thank
show.
you.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
You've
So
been
happy.
great. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So to the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.